If businesses don't start adopting AI and have an AI must-used policy, like, they could be left behind. It's a pretty powerful tool if used correctly. It's not going to radically change our business or any of our customers' business overnight. But like anything, once you start using it appropriately, and, you know, I do think you'll see a significant change in how you do business.
This is episode 88 of the Fire Protection Podcast, powered by InspectPoint. Today, my guest is InspectPoint CEO, Padraig Doyle, Pat Doyle, everybody calls him. I haven't had Pat on since episode one, I believe. He's a tough get, I guess, these days. Anyway, yeah, Pat and I go way back to our college days. We didn't really get into any of our history, which we probably should do at some point. But we got into a lot of AI and kind of where the momentum of artificial intelligence is going within the public, but also within specifically the fire protection industry, and what we're doing here at InspectPoint and FireCAD to really power up the industry and kind of really be the leader in it, in my opinion, in our opinion, of some of the content and features that we're rolling out. So really cool to have Pat on and discuss everything. It's not really that far in the future, and we're doing a bunch of stuff now. So hope you enjoy, and yeah, thanks for subscribing.
Hey, man, how you doing? It's you're across the country right now, so.
Halfway across, but thanks for finally inviting me to be on the podcast.
You know, we got young Liam over there, you know, helping out. He helped wrangle you in.
Yeah, well, Liam runs the show, so. I asked him to leave the room, but he wanted to be right here just to have his editorial control.
Yeah, he can look stuff up for you.
Yeah, he looks stuff up, pull stuff up on the monitor.
I know where you're at, but like, you know, what are you up to this week down in Texas?
Yeah, so we are doing some pretty cool stuff, as you know, I'm sure we'll get into. We launched our first AI agent, and we're doing a big marketing push. So we have a lot of the team in Austin to film a lot of content that will be coming out soon that the audience listening to this will I think, appreciate. And we decided to actually film in person, which is crazy, right? So we flew to Austin, yeah. And we have all of our equipment here, and Liam's running the show. We're going to do a nice little video series for everybody.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I think the market, you know, just at AFSA a few weeks ago presented on AI, and the room was packed, right? And a lot of people I know, right? But also people that I don't know. And people were super intrigued with what AI is doing in the fire protection realm, but also just in general. Yeah, I mean, the last 12 months, it's been on the top of everybody's topics to talk about.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? So my like, this is going to change the world versus this is hype meter goes back and forth all the time. You know, when ChatGPT first launched, my son was just born. I remember rocking him to sleep in one hand and talking to this AI chatbot in another hand. And I was like, wow, this is something I thought would never happen. And then, you know, I started using it for work, and then it started dying down. And I'd say right around where you said, maybe 8 to 10 months ago, it really started to click. And it made me realize that if businesses don't start adopting AI and have an AI must-used policy, like, they could be left behind. It's a pretty powerful tool if used correctly. It's not going to radically change our business or any of our customers' business overnight. But like anything, once you start using it appropriately, and, you know, I do think you'll see a significant change in how you do business.
Yeah, I think, you know, our business is, there's a labor problem, right? There's also a lot of hardware too, right? There's actual fire things that detect fire, the things that put out fire. I don't think that's changing anytime soon, but like the digital aspect are things, and the software side are things that could, and the data within that could be powered up by AI, right? It's a lot easier to do that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you mean you're in my opinion, you're having the right, you're thinking about it the right way. Like there's a definitely a distinction to like what's going to happen in the real physical world with AI in buildings, in detection systems, et cetera. And we need to be very careful and cautious of how that's rolled out. I mean, obviously we're dealing with a heavy, like, don't even get into the compliance or regulatory aspects of it, but like, you know, protecting people on property, right? And these are new evolving technologies, but just in the, let's just call it the back office side or even in the technician side, right? Like it really comes down to first principles. Like why does any of our customers or why to like take fire life safety out of the equation? Why does anyone to adopt software in general, you know, to get more efficiency, like to make everyone's lives easier? And sometimes it fulfills that promise and sometimes it don't. AI is the same thing. I think we'll just see huge gains of efficiencies really quickly with AI. Like it is worth the ROI in that standpoint. And then we'll just see how we do work change over time. And I can't sit here and predict. I don't think, Drew, you can sit here and predict what happens. We could maybe have a glass of wine and get close. We're filming this at 8 in the morning, so it's coffee, 8 in the morning my time. But at the same time, like, I see our customers, I see the industry already playing around with AI, which is great to see, you know? Yep. And like, I also just think from an employee standpoint, and I don't want to go, you know, ramble too much here, that it behooves everyone listening to this at least to play around with these technologies, right? Yep. Like, if I could bet, if there's anything that's 100%, is these things are not going away. You know, will they radically change the world? We can debate that, right? But they're going to make people's lives easier. And the more you know about these technologies, just the more marketable you are as an employee, regardless of where you are, like back office, technicians, et cetera, all the way from the owner suite down to like the person just hired.
Yeah. Well, I think we're in an industry that's codified, and we've said that a lot before, right? And the code is complex, and there's a reason it's complex, and it's kind of evolved that way over time. And wherever you're at makes it even more complex. Just an example, I haven't told you this yet, but I've been playing around with UpCodes, which is a platform for building codes, and there's some fire codes and stuff in there. And doing a mini house renovation right now. And, you know, there's a problem with, not a problem, but there's like a debate of like, all right, where are we, whatever. I literally 30 seconds typed in my question. They use a Copilot piece to the residential Connecticut building code, right? And it literally spit everything out for me in 30 seconds. I put that in email, and this debate that was going on for like 2 weeks got solved within 30 seconds. And in the codes, we have complex codes, right? Whether it's building, and we're in the fire side, so there's a lot of complex fire codes. So there's ripe opportunity for AI to help us there. So
yeah, and I think that's just really, I mean, that's an awesome use case, right? And I think that's something our customers are probably trying, or you know, hopefully we can, you know, get some features out that'll help them with that exact use case. But that's just scratching the surface, right? When we talk about like agentic AI, right? Like in your example, right? It could be, if we take it up a couple levels up the stack, it's like, take a picture, tell the agent, find what you wanted to find, and then email on your behalf someone on their side, get the response, iterate back and forth, and then only tell me when it makes sense for me to hear that, right?
Right.
So essentially telling the agent, go do the work on my behalf and only bother me when like you're stuck or you've got a resolution, right? And that's, I think, we start linking those agents together. Like that's the big unlock.
Yep.
We're not 100% there yet, and we're getting close. But I think that's when people start wrapping their heads around that and start trusting the agents, we're going to see a big gain in efficiency, and it's going to free up a lot of time for all of us to do the work we want to sure. do. Right.
So for the listenership, like, so we have the regular, everybody's kind of used to ChatGPT and Copilot and whatever. When you say agent, that next level up, I guess explain that.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably go ask ChatGPT and you'll get a better answer from me. But like, I think of terms internally when we think about rolling features out in the product and our product team, is there generative AI, like, go generate something for me. So generate an image and generate a response to a question or a prompt, et cetera. Then there's more agentic AI is like, go do stuff for me, right? And that stuff right now is pretty limited. It could be go make a phone call on my behalf, go talk to someone on my behalf. But it also could be when you start linking those agents together, you know, it can get pretty powerful. So think of it as a little agent, for lack of a better word, that runs in the background, listens for commands or listens for communication, and then does stuff on your behalf without asking you every point of the way, right? So the most one probably all of us use to some level of frustration is a customer service agent, right? So you're talking to someone and is AI responding back to you. Well, that AI could also, agent could also be doing things in the background, like pinging a human when a human needs to come back, come into the conversation, right? Or writing to your CRM on your behalf, you know, saying, and not from like an integration, just actually the agent calling the API of your CRM and writing detailed, like human level notes about what just happened in the interaction, right? And then potentially calling the agent could call an agent on your sales team, basically saying, hey, you need to start reaching out to this person because they want more products that you sell, right? So in our industry, it could be like, hey, I'm talking to someone about their sprinkler inspection and when their 5 years need to be scheduled, but they mentioned that they asked me if they do extinguisher inspections.
Right.
So ping the sales team and get someone spun up to like reach back out to them, like asynchronously, to see if that's something that, you know, you can, that if that's a contract you can win. So these are the things that right now they're a little hard, like especially on our, you know, medium sized or lower customers, to get all these agents and make them work together. We're hoping we can make that easy, you know, a plug for us. But at the same time, like, we need to stay in our lane. So we're trying to figure out where this all fits in and how we can help and help our customers like really get value.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, you know, eventually them all work together and they're assistants, right? And they're doing, the busy work or just chugging through a lot of data. Like we have, you know, the InspectPoint platform, even the FireCAD platform, there's so much data in there. How do you go in and like review that, compare it from historical over time, compare it to the actual code or the actual manufacturer's recommendations? And I think a lot of that gets lost sometimes because there's so much data. And by managing those buildings and then those systems and assets versus just throwing it onto form, we're managing, you know, those systems. Again, there's richer data there that can power up these agents to really give you what to do next, essentially, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that is and you mentioned a lot on this podcast, right? Like how important data is and like, can you make decisions based on the data you're collecting, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where we're in a unique position with InspectPoint, because we do collect a lot of data on our customers' behalf, right? We need to do, you know, just to be critical, we need to do a better job of surfacing important things based on that data to our customers. We're working on that. But at the same time, like, there's only a certain amount of hours in the day, right? So if you're, like, all of our customers are busy, right? So if we can just make it easier and have an agent do that on your behalf in the background and then bubble up and port stuff to the people who need to bubble up, and the agent being smart enough to know who to bubble it up to so you don't have to sit there and configure all these things, like that's when you start getting like big unlocks, right? And that's where it's like you essentially increase the amount of hours in the day because the agent's doing stuff on your behalf, right? This sounds like fantasy land, even saying it out loud, right? And like, we're trying to just do this stuff internally. So I know it's hard to roll out. I push our team all the time, like, let's do this. But like, it's going to get better. It'll get there. It will change how we all work. And I think it'll change it for the better.
Yeah. I know we talked about InspectPoint, but even I'm excited to see on the design side, because that's the start of the process. And, you know, I guess what is it? We haven't talked about this in the podcast too much. I've had Tony and August on the podcast way back in the spring. But what is your impression of FireCAD, and I have my own, you know, just being in a lot of the conversations and how powerful that tool is. It's exciting to see that grow as well.
No, it is, right? And I think we're really scratching the surface. You know, if there's any industry that's ripe for disruption in AI, it's computer-assisted design, right? At the same time, like, how important, like, we don't see AI as, like, replacing people, right? I think right. that's, like, super important. We're seeing yep. them, it's like, how can we make them better at their jobs, right? And how yep. can we make them move faster without making mistakes, right? So we are, you know, I think, Drew, you're closer than I am. I'm, like, super impressed of how fast the team is going with this. But Design Assistant, like, is the first step with that, right? Can we look at designs, you know, can the designer ask for assistance? Then you have an AI essentially look at their design and give them updates, you know, places to look at by examining the code and the design. And that's just like step one, right? Just like you mentioned the hey, I talked to the building, you know, the upcode piece to get the building codes, like that's step one. It's great, saved you a bunch of time, right? So we need to get at that out the door. We need people looking, you know, working in it. We need to show value, to our customers. And then in the background, it's like, all right, what can we do after? And I know you have a lot of ideas. Tody has a lot of ideas. August has a lot of ideas. Like what, how can we now take this more generative tool, this real, like we use assistant for a reason because it's now replacing, it's assisting the designer. How can we assist a designer use AI so they don't have to call someone over, say, hey, well, look at this, you know, or send it to a manager, right? But then what can we do really after the fact? Like, that's the big question right now. And for us, like always, it's like really talking to our customers, understanding their workflow. Like, I'd love to get into that. I think the main thing for AI here in Inspect Point is like, we want it truly integrated into our customers' existing workflow, right? Yeah. Anytime like our users are leaving Inspect Point to go do something with AI, like that's the heuristic I tell our product team. Can we do something similar in the products that don't have to do that, right?
Right.
And Design Assistant is like a first step in that. But we, though, that team, you know, our FireCAD team talks to customers all day long, right? Like almost I have to tell them, hey guys, like you don't need that four hour calls with our customers, but they love it so much. They're passionate about it. We're passionate about it. And our customers are passionate about it. So really, how can we take that information and just keep iterating on Design Assistant? And I think it's going to, from our customers with 500 designers to our customers with one designer, it's going to radically change like their workflow and how they do business.
Yeah, I was, funny enough, I was on the ride to the office today. I just connected with this local fire alarm company and he's it's FireCAD and Inspect Point customer and just tossing out ideas. And, you know, I had a few minutes to chat with him about things and, I'll connect him with Tony and everything. But, yeah, a lot of passion in this industry, right?
I mean, I say that all the time, right? Making software isn't the most fun endeavor. It can be fun. We make it fun, but it's a lot more fun when you're making software for someone, for a industry who's passionate about being in their industry, you know, and like that keeps me going every day. You know, we want to be the global leader in fire. We think we're going to be, but the reason why we can keep moving with that mission is like how passionate our customers are with protecting people and property. And I think you know that better than I do, but I love to see it. And it keeps us all going, keeps us motivated.
Well, I posted about it the other day and it was, the passion within the industry is strong. And I think if you can take that technology and we've got in fire protection, there's a little bit of a technology swing right now. Not only us, but a bunch of others as well. And the ones that are in fire, I feel like understand it better, that are kind of long stay, where, you know, there's some others that are trying to jump on the bandwagon, which is great. It's always flattering. But I think we're diving deeper and deeper into fire, partnering with manufacturers. Manufacturers are excited to partner with us, which is, I came from the manufacturing realm and I'm like, man, that is the perfect synergy of putting the software and the data with the hardware, it makes things run so much smoother.
Yeah, and it's a real win-win, right? You know, you are, you know, I'll flip it on, you know, I'll reverse the interview on you a little bit, but like you are really good at sensing win-win partnerships, both from, especially on the fire side, right? So what I think, you know, do you hesitate bringing up AI when you're in those conversations? Does it come up organically? Like, how is that? You know, I don't think I've ever asked you that. Like, how is that going?
Yeah, it's you know, there's two, you know, on the OEM side and the manufacturer side, I think I've brought up not AI, but I've brought up data. And, you know, I guess AI essentially can help with the data. But I've always said, you know, because I came from that realm, you looked at the install projects, you looked at the skyscrapers, the data centers and warehouses getting built. And you knew that coming as soon as it left the dock, right? You didn't really care where it went once the person bought it, right? And I just think that's a little, I don't want to say short-sighted. You know, you want to know how your product is doing over the long term or even the medium or short term, right? And a lot of the manufacturers and some of the fire alarm ones do because everything's starting to be more connected now. But on more of the sprinkler suppression side, they, as soon as it leaves the dock, they have no idea what's going on with it, right? Or how to improve it, right? So I always have said, even since we started Inspect Point, is like the OEMs and the manufacturers need to know this. And then obviously with the AI being a big spike right now, I think they're finally getting that. And who houses all the data? It's the contractors and the tech companies. So yeah, I guess, you know, the AI is pretty new, but it's the data piece that kind of powers the AI anyway, right?
You need the data. One thing you've been kind of working on with the product team is the bill of materials. I don't know if you talked about that at all, both in FireCat and Inspect Point on the service side. Like, can you see a world where, yeah, you know, I'll caveat it with humans always in the loop, but could we have agents that talk to agents on the OEM side, like both to procure, deliver, and receive, you know, and pay at some point? Like, is that, can the industry get there, or do we want it to go there?
I think on the service and inspection side, definitely. And there's almost like I'm waiting for one of the OEMs to, like, because I was messing with, I had an agent. And I did this live at AFSA. I had an agent, kind of an expert in the Tyco dry pipe valve. I essentially took their tech data sheets and loaded it into an LLM. Had my voice on there, which is wild. And I was asking it technical questions, right? And I asked it for a part number. I didn't ask it for a price, but that's the next piece. Is like, all right, hey, I need to replace a clapper on this valve. Can you just talk in to the agent and it's got it ordered, or, hey, I'm going to run over to the local supply shop and it's going to have it ready to go. I'll have it fixed the same day. And then that price is out to that building owner to complete that work. I think it's there. It's just, the tech is there. It's just, are the OEMs and suppliers moving there yet?
Yeah, it'll all get there. Or can it just make a phone call to the supply shop, you know, saying, hey, yeah, you know, in the background, put you on hold. Hey, I just called the three local supply shops that you usually shop from, the parts in this store at this point, this far away. Like, I can get a task rabbit sent over to you and drive it over to you. Do you want owner approval? Okay, let me call the owner. Like, these are all things that it can be doing while you're still doing work, right? So, like, and then it's texting you along the way or message you inside Inspect Point, so you don't have to leave your current workflow. These are all things that, like, I do think will get there. It's more, you know, it's not if, it's when, right? Yeah. And doesn't make sense. Like, if it's not going to increase your margins or save you time, like, we don't want to use AI just to use AI. Like, that's right. A mistake we made here internally, right? And next thing you know, it's death by 1,000 cuts. You're paying for 6 different LLMs, right? Yeah. We want to provide agentic AI assistants that, you know, our customers are realizing value from, like, day one, right? And that's really like, if you're on the fence, my pitch to any of our customers, if you're on the fence, talk to us, just try it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, even if you're like, hey, I want to hold out, totally cool, right? But if you are on the fence, or if you can go convince the one person who is on the fence, just call our team, try it. Like, and tell them Pat said that on the podcast if they say no, right?
Yeah. Get the discount code, right?
Yeah, get the discount code, like and subscribe. But no, seriously, just give it a try, you know? Like,
well, it's only getting better. People, you know, I've been using it on the agreement side. And if you haven't seen it, and I mean, utilize it for your terms and conditions, utilize it for any like legal language. It is... you know, an NDA or whatever, you run it through one of these engines and it's kind of eye-opening just in something simple, or rewriting an email, right? I think everybody's kind of that, to that point where they are utilizing it. It's just like, all right, get to the next step, have it embedded in your full software workflow.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting. Sometimes I worry, I have two young kids like you do. Will they even be able to write emails like 15 years from now? Because, right, it's all AI. But that's the base case, right? I think where we can help, and I don't want to keep pushing, right? Like this isn't like an advertisement, right? Yeah. But like, if you're asking very fire specific questions, the LLMs that we will release will be very specific to that, to our industry. And we'll really, our goal is to prevent what the industry called hallucinations, right? So you can trust the responses. And through our ability to prompt the LLMs and to train the LLMs, like, we think that a fire life safety, fire protection specific LLM inspect point will just give you better answers than just going to ChatGPT, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, every industry is going to have that. And so there's twofold, right? Is like, can we do it in our workflow? And can we just give better responses when you're prompting for questions, right? And very, like you mentioned, you trained it on that dry valve, right? Like, if you just go to ChatGPT, there's a huge risk. Is it trained properly, mm-hmm. right? Are you getting correct answers? And that's, we have a whole AI quality team whose sole goal is putting answers through multiple LLMs that we train, and we really take that seriously, and because of the industry we're in. So we can't just like throw these things out the door, right? And that's go ahead.
Yeah, it was one of my things, is like the public LLM can, you know, it's probably getting a lot right and people are utilizing it now, but we are in an industry where you got to be right. And, you know, 100% of the time or 99.9% of the time, because there is, you know, it's a life safety side of it. So, yeah, those public, you know, same thing with when I did this building code thing. I could have asked ChatGPT or Claude that, but I went specifically to a source where it has all the codes. It this is what it does, right?
Yeah.
Essentially.
And that's the thing, like, if you're just writing an email, it makes sense. And that's where... Right. I kind of alluded to it earlier, but where I'm pushing our product team and where you're pushing the product team, it's like, when we think of agents, I think there'll be horizontal agents. So all of our customers are probably getting random emails and calls from companies they never heard of, trying to sell them agents all through their, you know, what's this called, their business stack, right?
Yep.
Like, for one example, you know, if they're using QuickBooks, I'm sure they're getting some type of bookkeeping agents inbound all the time, right? And SpecPoint is never going to write one of those. We're never going to release one of those because it's not our core competency and it's not necessarily in the workflow, the SpecPoint portion of your workflow. So I want us to focus on, and you want us to focus on, vertical agents, right? What are the data that we collect for our customers that we never share, we never train publicly across on? But like, what are agents that we can like use our expertise and our customers' expertise? And what are ones probably no one else is going to build? And can they give our customers value from day one, right? Yep. Those are a limited amount of things, right? But they're very powerful things. And I think those are the ones that we need to focus on. And those are the ones we want to talk about and talk to our customers about.
Yeah, excited. This is crazy stuff. Like, this is, I mean, a year ago, we weren't really talking about this, and it's like it's happened so fast. And you know, you've pushed the product team, and it's almost like we're pushing the industry at this point, because there's an opportunity to really harness this, and it's exciting times right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, everyone in our company wanted to do these things. We just had to wait for the technology to get just good enough because of how the industry we're in, and the technologies are there. And to be honest, like, I push everyone to move fast. And it's one area we kind of move fast, because it is, even on the engineering side, it's an evolving discipline, right? AI quality is a real thing. That's why, like, I'll always encourage our customers to, all of our customers, do a buy versus build, like, calculation in their head, right? Mm-hmm. And you can build some of these on your own for sure. And some of them, like, especially the non-vertical ones, like, I encourage them to, if they have the capacity to do it, right, and play around and tinker constantly. Where we can deliver on a slightly, I think, where we can do it a little bit better, it's our job to do this, right? It's our job to, like, constantly evaluate the LLMs. It's our job to train our own LLMs. It's our job to swap out LLMs when it makes sense. It's our job to be not only ahead of the curve, but drastically ahead of the curve, so we can provide quality and value to our customers. And if you're not willing to take that investment and do this daily, like, talk to us or another vendor, right? But there's other, like, low-lift things, like getting everyone in your company, like, a ChatGPT license so they can write emails faster, right? Like, yeah, that makes sense. But when it's for your core business, come talk to us. And if there's agent ideas, we want to hear them. If you have, no matter how crazy they are, like, some of our customers come and they want to fly a drone around and take pictures and use AI to do all these things. Anything's on the table, we'll listen. I'm not going to promise we'll build it, but, like, Drew loves having those conversations. So flood his inbox, with requests, respond comments for requests. And, like, we love to have these conversations, and I'll hop on with anyone to talk about it.
Yeah. I like how you tossed it out there. So I get some emails on some ideas here. Let's wrap it up here. I got one question for you.
Okay.
Favorite AI movie or premise in a movie?
Well, we're a child of the 80s, right? So yeah. Our AI movies are, what would we say? Terminator, Terminator 2, Matrix. I'd put those top three, very AI doomer type of movies, but still, like, I mean, those three movies are still probably in my top 20. So
yeah, I guess I forget about the Matrix. It's just so doom and gloom, though.
Yeah, I know.
I like WALL-E a lot. You know, the Disney movie. Mm-hmm. It's not really AI, but I guess it's a robot. You know.
Yeah, I read a lot of bad, like, Kindle sci-fi fiction like 10 years ago that was very AI. It's all doom and gloom stuff, though. You know, AI taking the world. So I can't really think of those titles. Damon is a good one. It's a good book about, like, an AI that takes over. It's a little outdated now, but they got a lot of it kind of right, you know. But I promise everyone this could actually never really happen. Nah, just kidding. But so you're WALL-E.
Ex Machina is good too. I like Ex Machina, but, you know, that's a little risque, you know.
Westworld.
Westworld's good.
Westworld season one? Yeah.
Westworld season one. Yeah. The later seasons. I actually stopped watching. The first couple seasons, it was pretty good.
Yeah. I think I checked out after, like, season three, when they're, like, in the real world.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else we talked about on the webinar. What else was on the slide? Oh, War Games. I'm going to go with War Games.
War 80s Games.
80s movie. War. I might watch it on the plane. Remember that one?
I don't think I've ever seen it. I might have to watch
what?
That one.
Oh, no. It's classic. Yeah. Matthew Broderick.
Oh, man. Right. I do remember that. Yeah. Well,
I'm going to post in the company Slack. Everyone has to watch that, like, this week.
You're going to quiz everybody.
Quiz everybody. Yeah. All right, man. This was a lot of fun. We should do it again soon.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck this week doing all your, you know, AI filming and all that. And excited. Again, this has happened fast. I think we're on the precipice of some really big stuff. And I think the market's ready for it because the public is ready for it. So there's timing with that because our industry's usually lags behind. But with the public being there, it will help, or it is helping.
Yeah. And look, I know, listen, selfishly, we have the two of us on. It was a lot about Inspect Point. But I will encourage all of our customers, tinker and try, right? Either on your own time or like things like in your business. And if you want to talk to us and have like open and transparent conversations of how AI can help your business, whether it's with us or just other tools, you know, we're more than happy to do that, right? Like, we want to see how folks are using AI. Selfishly, we want it to all be Inspect Point, but we know like where our lane is. We just want to see how folks are using it, because maybe we could replicate the same with us internally. And if you want to try any of us, I'd say just give it a try, right? If it's not ready for you now, hopefully we make it ready for you in 6 months from now. But we think it's working pretty well. We have customers, early access customers, who've been using it for months now. Like, it's there. And you know, give Drew and I a shout. Either way, it's not going away. So
yeah,
awesome, man.
Well, thanks again, Pat.
Yeah, take care. All right.
See you soon.
This has been episode 88 of the Fire Protection Podcast, powered by Inspect Point. I want to thank Pat Doyle for coming on the podcast and discussing everything artificial intelligence and how it's transforming our future. He didn't think he'd get it to 20 minutes, and we almost hit 40. So could have went even a little longer. Anyway, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again soon.